Got lots more to talk about, and we're going to switch gears. We'll get away from politics for a little bit. The topic is dogs and heat. People putting their dogs in cars, and it's just a terrible situation. What can you do if you see that? What does the law say? John Sutz from Heat Kills will be with us here in studio in just a moment. Chilling Show rolls on, Manic Monday edition. Thanks for being here with us weekdays from noon to 2. It is the place to be. And a very important topic, particularly in the summertime when things get extreme, the temperatures are extreme. A lot of people don't think about it, but you should not be putting your dogs in cars and leaving them places. And we see this all too often with tragic results. John Sutz joins us, the founder of HeatKills.org. And today, talking on this very important topic. Hey, John, welcome back to the Chilling Show, and thank you so much for your concern for the animals who cannot speak for themselves in this instance.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Tell us about the founding of HeatKills.org and what prompted this.
Well, I had no intention of creating a website to advocate for dogs, except for through my first experience of adopting soon after moving up here after 9/11. And looking for and finding my first dog, who pretty much ended up saving my spirit and about whom I wrote my first book. Just generally, I was interested in advancing knowledge of the care that I believe is required in matching your personality, your lifestyle, your needs, as far as your ability to care for the dog, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, rather than doing impulse decisions. And unfortunately, as I am sitting outside at Starbucks, Panera, hotcakes around town, June, July, August, September, I'm sitting there with Shayna by my side, a warm spring day, middle of the day, and I hear a dog barking muffled inside of a car. And if it goes on for more than a minute or so, I would take my cell phone camera out, have someone watch Shayna, and I would let the sound guide my movements, and I would go videotape the incident. And if I continued hearing it for three or four more minutes, I would call the police, not the 911, but the non-emergency number. And it happened over and over and over again. And as I had more interaction with the police, I began to realize, and even on occasion some owners, I began to realize how widespread this problem is, that people either don't know how dangerous it is to leave a dog in a car, or they're operating on incorrect knowledge, on counter knowledge. And I started compiling these videos, and then I started doing a search on the internet. What is, when you search heat stroke in dogs, don't leave dog in car, there were a lot of websites out there, a lot of which were well-meaning, but they had conflicting information, and many of them did not track their allegations back to an authoritative source. So if they make a claim, where did they get this? It wasn't clear, and I felt that there needed to be a site that was so clear, both graphically and otherwise, and accountable and transparent, that a six-year-old could understand it. So as a professional graphic designer, I determined to create a one-frame unifying graphic that shows how quickly the interior temperature of a car rises over time, even if the windows are partially down. And the site has been picked up by countries, by organizations around the world. And that is pretty much how I got started.
Let's talk about the mechanics of this. You mentioned how quickly the temperature can rise, and I know there's nothing like looking at a chart, but give us a sense of the danger that's at hand here, because a lot of people just have no idea.
Yeah, it's the biggest misconception that I encounter is, oh, it's cool outside, my dog will be fine for a few minutes in the car. Well, imagine that your physiology has now completely transformed, that your body cannot produce sweat. The only way you can cool down is by panting and through the palms of your hands and feet, the pads of your thing. Now imagine getting into a fur coat that covers the entire surface of your skin and going inside, sitting inside a 70-degree car in the direct sunlight with the windows partially down. How long would you be able to tolerate it? And that's what people are doing to their dogs, because no one ever educated them on the danger of heat stroke in dogs. So the basic sciences, of course, there's variables under certain limiting conditions. But in general, the temperature inside a car, even with the windows partially open, rises 19 degrees in the first 10 minutes and 29 degrees in the first 20 minutes.
Wow.
So dogs can start to suffer heat stroke within as little as 10 minutes. The short-nosed dogs are generally much more susceptible to this because their ability to cool down through panting is dramatically limited. So again, I would encourage anyone out there who doubts what I say, go to heatkills.org, look up the sources that I'm citing, call an emergency vet in another state and just ask general questions. And I'm betting that in every case, you're going to find that what I'm saying and what is on the site is 100% accurate. And if it's not, please let me know.
Let's go to the phones. The phone line is open for you at 977-1070. And Charles is on the line. Charles, you're on with John Sutz, heatkills.org. Go right ahead.
Gentlemen, a few years ago, I was in a parking area, and a lady came to me and railed on me for leaving my dog in the car, and it was a warm day. For that very reason, and before then and at that time, I carry a spare key. And when I am with my dog and I have to leave her in the car, I leave my car running and the air conditioning on. If somebody feels they are going to have to face that, I would suggest they carry a spare key and air condition their dog, burn that gas if it's a necessity. With that, I'll leave you.
Charles, thank you very much. Okay, John, go ahead.
Well, on the surface of that, that sounds like a perfectly reasonable approach to this, and I myself use that with Shayna. For 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, that's perfectly okay. The problem is that almost 100 police dogs have died since 2010, horrible, agonizing deaths in air-conditioned police cruisers because while they're parked, while they're sitting there, the AC goes out, the engine malfunctions, something goes on, and they are not alerted to it, and the dog suffers a horrible death. This is also, I believe, on the website. So if you are running into the grocery store, have a sign to put in the window that just basically says the air conditioning is on, I left at this time, please know the dog is safe. But the problem is, again, is that dozens of police dogs across the country have died these horrible, agonizing deaths because they had air conditioning going and they assume that it's going to go hour after hour.
Charles, thank you for the call. I also get an email that comes in. I see stupid people walking their dogs on city streets when the pavement is hot enough to fry an egg and they take their dogs to fireworks displays. No common sense, poor dogs. Could you respond to those two things? I know they're a little peripheral, but dogs walking on hot pavement, is that problematic?
It is tremendously problematic because, once again, they have protective pads which do not provide complete protection. It's not like a heat shield. It is simply to provide more protection than our bare skin provides to us. But emergency vets across the country have posted pictures on the internet of, I don't even want to describe how ghastly this is. So just imagine walking yourself with your bare feet on this hot asphalt. It's just an insanely difficult problem that people just don't think. Again, one of my big thrusts with heatkills.org is to provide a crash course over the years. I don't have the time to do it right now, but what I want to do is to create an ultimate multilingual crash course for anyone above 10 years old that will understand the proper care of a dog, because they don't get it when they adopt. They just think, oh, it's a cute dog, seems friendly, let's bring it home. They have no idea how to take care of a dog.
John, I've got 2 minutes left, and I want to go to the law. You mentioned calling the police. What authority do the police have in this situation, and are there things that need to be changed in the law?
Well, I wish I had a definitive answer on that. States across the country are enacting what are called Good Samaritan laws to be able to, if you cannot find the owner and you believe that the dog is either in heat stroke or is at immediate risk of being in heat stroke, you have the legal protection to break that window and get that dog out. Police officers also are being afforded that protection. Because I'm not working on heatkills.org full-time, I wish I had a definitive answer in Virginia, but I believe that either laws have been enacted or they're in the process of being advocated by which to protect both Good Samaritan civilians and police officers to rescue dogs. But unfortunately, there's such a tremendous lack of knowledge about this that the laws are running into obstacles.
John, give us the website once again if people want to get more information about your work at Heat Kills.
Heatkills.org.
Terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a very important topic. We don't talk about it often enough, but the problem is real and it needs to be addressed head on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, let's go to the break. Coming back on the other side with Josh Bernstein. Stay with The Shilling Show. We'll be right back. Yes, and per a caller, we should not forget about the kitties as well.